श्रीमद् भगवद् गीता साधक संजीवनी चैप्टर 7 वर्स 4 एंड 5 लिंक इन द सेकंड वर्स लॉर्ड कृष्णा प्रॉमिस्ड अर्जुन टू अनफोल्ड टू हिम नॉलेज कंबाइंड विथ रियलाइजेशन इन कीपिंग विथ हिज प्रॉमिस लॉर्ड कृष्णा प्रोसीड्स इन द नेक्स्ट वर्स टू एक्सप्लेन नॉलेज विथ रियलाइजेशन भूमिरापो नलो वायु खं मनो बुद्धिरेव च अहंकार इथियं मे भिन्ना प्रकृतिरष्टधा अपरेयमितत्स्त्वन्याम् प्रकृतिं विद्धि मे पराम् जीवभूतां महाबाहो येदं धार्यते जगत् अर्थ वाटर फायर एयर ईथर माइंड इंटेलेक्ट ईगो दीस कॉन्स्टिट्यूट माय नेचर प्रकृति Eightfold divided. This is my lower insentient nature. But different from it, O mighty armed, is my higher sentient nature, the life element, Jiva, by which this universe is sustained. Comment. Bhumi rapo nalo vayu, kham mano buddhi reva cha, ahankara iti yamme, भिन्ना प्रकृति रष्टधा अपरेयमि तत्स्त्वन्याम प्रकृतिम विद्धि मे पराम गॉड इज द ओरिजिन ऑफ द होल क्रिएशन वील्डिंग हिज ओन क्रिएशन ही ब्रिंग्स फोर्थ द होल क्रिएशन दिस नेचर इज कॉल्ड द लोअर नेचर अपरा प्रकृति व्हाइल द एम्बॉडीड सोल व्हिच इज अ पार्ट ऑफ गॉड is called the higher nature, para prakriti. The lower nature is inferior, insentient, and changeful, while the higher nature is superior, sentient, and changeless. Every man's nature is different, as a man's nature cannot be proved to have its own separate entity, independent of that man. Similar is the case with that of God's nature. This nature is God's own disposition. Therefore, it's called His nature. Similarly, the embodied soul being a part of God cannot be proved to have its own separate existence, independent of God, as it is God's itself. Though God itself, but it is named nature, because of its affinity with lower nature. As it accepts the activities of the lower nature as its own, or in other words, attributes the doership to himself. Therefore it is called superior nature or embodied soul. Otherwise it is nothing else but God. When it becomes free from the bondage of being doer and an enjoyer, it is no more higher nature or embodied soul. Here the lower nature includes earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intellect, and ego. If out of these eight, five gross elements are supposed to represent the gross creation, and the three, mind, intellect, and ego, are to represent the whole subtle creation, then this description of nature remains incomplete as it leaves out the causal creation. To prove that in this description of nature, all parts of nature have been included, the venerable commentators have interpreted these in the following way. According to them, the five gross elements stand for gross as well as their causes. Five subtle Tanmatras, mind stands for its origin ego. Intellect stands for cosmic intelligence, and ego stands for the causal nature. Thus, this interpretation includes full description of cosmic nature, as it includes all the three, gross, subtle, and causal creation. In scriptures, this cosmic nature has been described as Prakriti and Vikriti. Here a point needs attention, that Lord Krishna has not described lower and higher nature from the viewpoint of Prakriti and Vikriti. On nature come its evolutes. Had the Lord defined so, he would not have called the individual soul as higher nature, because the soul is neither Prakriti, the cause of any evolute, nor Vikriti, the evolute itself. The soul is immutable and changeless. It proves that the Lord has described matter as lower nature and the individual soul as higher nature, just in order to distinguish the insentient from the sentient. According to this author, this eightfold division of nature includes the gross and subtle creation only. The five gross elements enumerated here include the gross creation. These five elements also represent subtle creation, as these are evolutes of the five subtle tanmatras. Mind, intellect, and ego, described here, are also part of the subtle creation. The ego has two aspects. The ego is matter in its nature, and it is a modification or a trait of the inner sense, antakarna. It is sort of an instrument. This is called in the fourth verse as ego, a part of lower nature. The second aspect of ego is one's own personality, as it represents itself as a doer. This is described in the fifth verse of this chapter by the name of higher nature. This ego is the result of the soul's identification with causal body. This identification has two aspects, insentient and sentient. The insentient factor is the causal body, and one who cultivates egoistic notions is sentient factor. Until self-realization, this ego persists, assuming itself always as doer. During deep sleep, it lies dormant or is not manifest. After waking up, I slept soundly and am awake. A man making this statement represents the ego, the higher nature. After waking, he thinks where and how he is. This is wakefulness of mind. And when he knows that he is at a particular place and time, it is the wakefulness of the intellect. Thus, one who experiences his entity is the ego, representing higher nature. And though the ego with which he experiences is a trait of the inner sense, it is lower nature. When soul, the sustainer and illuminator of this lower nature, identifies itself with this nature, it is then called higher nature or the embodied soul. This fact has been described in Gita by the term Ya yedam dharyate jagat, by whom this insentient nature is sustained. If the sentient nature, soul or spirit, without having any inclination for the insentient nature, has an inclination for God, that is, accepts Him as its own, it realizes the self, and then its soul or man's attachment for the world turns into love for God. This divine love is limitless. It is in the form of bliss, and it increases every moment. After attaining it, nothing else remains to be attained. And after realizing the self, nothing remains to be known. And after applying all the objects, etc., of the lower nature for the service of the world, and having disinclination for them, nothing remains to be done. This is the state of perfection of human life. Prakriti Rashtadha Apareyam. It seems that the eightfold lower nature is individual, lower nature, because a man is bound because of his affinity for his body. If a man does not accept his affinity for it, there is no question of any bondage. Man himself sustains this universe, that is, accepts his relationship with the universe, and that relationship leads him to bondage. An individual body has no separate entity, different from the universe. When a man assumes his affinity for the body, he is bound. If he does not assume this affinity, there is no question of bondage. In the 7th verse of the 15th chapter, Lord Krishna declares, "The soul in the body is an eternal part of myself, but it attracts the mind and the senses that rest in matter. That is, it accepts the mind and the senses as its own." In the same way, in the 5th verse of the 13th chapter, Lord Krishna describes the universe as Kshetra, field, and the 6th verse describes its evolutes, modifications. But actually these evolutes are found not in the universe, but in the body. Thus, affinity for the body is the main obstacle to emancipation. This body, being a part of the universe, cannot be separated from it. The fact is that primordial matter is neither a means nor an obstacle to emancipation. When an aspirant does not accept his affinity for it, it proves helpful. But when he accepts his affinity for it, it proves an obstacle, because this affinity for Prakriti, matter, gives birth to egoism, I-ness. This egoism is the cause of bondage. By the phrase iti yamme, Lord Krishna warns us that this primordial matter or lower nature is his. So an aspirant should not accept it as his own. Otherwise his affinity will lead him to the cycle of birth and death. In egoism, I-ness, there are two desires. Desire for pleasure as well as desire for knowledge. The desire for pleasure can be wiped out by the discipline of action, while the desire for knowledge can be satisfied by the discipline of knowledge. Thus, an aspirant who is firmly established in either of the two gets the fruit of both. When the desire for pleasure is wiped out, the desire for knowledge is satisfied. When the desire for knowledge is satisfied, the desire for pleasures is wiped out. When the desire for pleasures is wiped out, or the desire for knowledge is satisfied, there develops detachment automatically. If an aspirant does not enjoy that detachment, he is not pleased with that state. He attains self-realization and his human life proves fruitful. Jiva Bhutam. Actually, the soul is a part of God, but by accepting his affinity for physical, subtle and causal bodies, it has become an embodied soul. It accepts its affinity in order to enjoy mundane pleasures, which lead it to great affliction in the form of birth and death. Mahabaho, O Arjun, being mighty armed, you are very brave and powerful, and you can understand the difference between the lower nature and the higher nature. Therefore, understand it. Yayedam dharyate jagat. In fact, this universe is a manifestation of God, that is, all the universe is God, and he is being and non-being both. The man has sustained this universe, that is, the man, by accepting the free existence of this universe, has started using it for his own pleasure. And thus it has led him to bondage. If he takes this universe as a manifestation or revelation of God, he will be free from the shackles of birth and death. The world is transitory and kaleidoscopic, but man thinks it's permanent and pleasing because of his temptation and attachment for pleasures and things by having feelings of I and mine. It is because of his attachment for pleasure and prosperity that he cannot behold this world as a manifestation of God. As a debauch cannot hold a woman as mother, so can a person having attachment for worldly pleasure and prosperity not perceive that the Lord himself has manifested himself in the form of the world. This attachment for pleasure sustains the universe, that is the cause of sustaining the universe. Secondly, all human beings are born of sperm and ovum, which themselves are filthy and impure. But a voluptuary thinks the body is charming and beautiful because of his attachment for pleasure. This thought makes the world. Once a gentleman said to a saint who was standing on the bank of a river, "Sir, the water of this river and the men on the bridge are flowing." The saint said, "Oh, brother, it is not only the water of the river or the men that are moving, but the river and the bridge themselves are also moving." It means that all of these are moving towards destruction. One day they will come to an end. Actually, the whole world is perishing every moment. In fact, the soul is neither born nor does it decay, but by identifying itself with the body, it accepts the body's birth and death as its own. Birth and death. If it does not identify itself with the body, nor does it accept its affinity for it, this world will have no existence at all. The term idam means that as both body and the world are one and the same, their difference is not real. It is merely assumed. Therefore, Lord Krishna in the 13th chapter says that this body is spoken of as the field, kshetra. But where there is a description of this field, it is a description of the world. In 13.5, while the evolutes such as desire, aversion, pleasure, pain, etc. have been described part of the individual body, in 13.6, it means that the world and the body are essentially the same. If we accept the body as I, it gives birth to egoism, I-ness. And if we accept the body as mine, it gives birth to mindness. And both of these lead to bondage. If we realize that the body and the world belong to one and the same class, and the man himself and God belong to one class, which is quite different from that of the body and the world, egoism, I-ness and mindness perish automatically. These can be wiped out by the three disciplines of action, knowledge and devotion. It means that the assumed affinity for matter should be broken off, and it can be by accepting reality through discrimination. An exceptional fact. A teacher and a pupil have their own separate entity or existence, but by having love and regard for each other, there is a further affinity between the two. Similarly, the soul which is a part of the Lord has accepted its affinity with the body and the world. It is because of this affinity that there appears to be a third entity which is called I-ness. This affinity of I-ness is merely assumed, not real. But the soul, by accepting it as real, gets into bondage. A teacher and a pupil have a separate existence, and both of them accept their affinity for each other. But out of the soul, sentient, and the world, in sentient matter, only the soul has its own existence. By an error, it accepts its relationship with the world, which is changing and perishing every moment. This assumed relationship is also decaying every moment, but it seems real to those who want to seek pleasure in the world. It is because of their attachment for worldly pleasures that a world which is never attained seems to be attained, while God, who is ever attained, seems unattained to them. As soon as they are free from this assumed affinity for the world, they will realize reality of their affinity, that they have their affinity for God, and only He, not the world, can be attained. To wipe out this feeling of I-ness, an aspirant should have a firm belief that he is different from matter. He should not expect anything from the world, but perform actions for the service of the world. Because whatever strength, intelligence, and resources he possesses, he has received them from the world. By following this discipline of action, the direction of actions and object is towards the world and the self. Remains so he attains self-realization. By following the discipline of knowledge, also by using discrimination, an aspirant, by breaking off his affinity for the things and actions of the world, attains self-realization. Thus, by breaking off his affinity for matter, he becomes free from this assumed I-ness. Devotion to God is aroused in the discipline of devotion by accepting, I am only God's and only God is mine. I am not of the body and the world, and the body and the world are not mine. Then an aspirant, having disinclination for the world, depends only on God, and thus he becomes free from the affinity of the world and egoism, I-ness. Thus, by following the discipline of action, the discipline of knowledge, or the discipline of devotion in the right perspective, an aspirant becomes free from the affinity of matter and realizes God. Appendix. When the self gets identified with the lower nature, that is identified with ego and assumes itself, I am, then by becoming an embodied soul, it is called higher nature. On one side of the ego, I, there is the world, lower nature, and on the other, there is God. But the embodied soul, instead of accepting God, accepts his lower nature and sustains it in the form of the world, which leads him to bondage of birth and death. Apare yami tatstvanyam. Different from apara, lower, is para, higher, and different from para is apara. Apara is different, that is, belongs to another class. By catching, sustaining the alien, this para has become jiva, embodied soul, jiva bhutam. Apara, kaleidoscopic, and para, unchangeable, both are God's nature, that is, power. Being powers of God, both are identified with God, because without the powerful, the power has no independent existence. As nail and hair, in spite of being lifeless, are not different from the living body, similarly, the lower nature, in spite of being insentient, is not different from God, who is sentient. Sada Satcha Hamarjuna. In this way, when apara and para, both prakritis, are the embodiments of God, then what remains besides God? Nothing remains. Vasudeva Sarvam, Gita, chapter 7, verse 19. God's integral form consists of both para and apara nature, meaning that para, apara, sat, asat, sentient, insentient, all are God. Ya yedam dharyate jagat means that this world has no existence in the eye of God, as well as in the eye of an exalted soul. It exists only in the eye of the individual soul. In the eye of God, Sat and Asat, all is He Himself, Sadasatcha Ham Arjuna. Gita, chapter 9, verse 19. And in the eye of the exalted soul, all is God, Vasudeva Sarvam. Gita, chapter 7, verse 19. A man, because of attachment and aversion, has sustained the world in his intellect. The same fact has been pointed out in the 7th verse of the 15th chapter by the expression Manashashtani Indriyani Prakritistani Karshati. By cognizing the existence of the world, attachment and aversion arise. The embodied self assumed the existence of the world and attached importance to it. By attaching importance, the desire for pleasure sprang up, which in its turn led to the cycle of birth and death. It means that by assuming any other entity besides God, the being has been snared in the worldly bondage. Therefore, it is the being's responsibility not to assume any other entity besides God. If it does not assume the entity of the world, where is the world? The Lord declares that earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intellect, ego, these eight constitute apara, insentient prakriti. As the earth is insentient and is to be known, so is ego insentient and is to be known. It means that earth, water, etc., all the eight belong to the same jati, that is class, category. Therefore, the class to which the earth belongs, ego also belongs to the same class. That is, ego, like a clod, is insentient and is objective in nature. Therefore, the Lord has mentioned ego as this. Etad yo veti. Etat. This is never aham. I. Therefore, the Lord, by saying ego as this, means that ego is not the self. When the sentient self identifies itself with the ego, then it gets bound. Ahankara vimudatma kartaham miti manyate. Chij jad granthi. This is called chij jad granthi. Ahankara iti yamme. The pure ego is matter, insentient in nature and belongs to the apara prakriti, lower nature. But I am. This identified ego is not only of apara prakriti, but it is conjoined with para prakriti, sentient. On self-realization, the latter ego, which leads to birth and death, does not persist, but the former ego of apara prakriti remains. Actions and objects are neither in para prakriti nor in God, but they are in apara prakriti. Apara prakriti is in the form of actions and objects. The Lord, with the help of prakriti, brings into being the whole creation. Para prakriti, that is the embodied soul by being attached to actions and objects, apara prakriti, and depending on them, gets bound. Attachment to apara prakriti and dependence on it means to sustain the world. Therefore, the Lord, at the very beginning of the 7th chapter, has mentioned to be attached to Him and to take refuge in Him by the expression Maya Sakta Manaha Partha Yogam Yunjam Madashraya. If an aspirant, the embodied soul, is not attached to apara prakriti and does not take refuge in it, he will attain salvation. If he is attached to, loves God and takes refuge in Him, he will become a bhakta, devotee. The world has no independent existence. The Lord has cognized the existence of the world, which leads it to bondage. The soul sustains the world, which causes pleasure, pain, bondage, and leads it to the 84 lakh forms of life, to the life of ghosts, evil spirits, devils, and deities, etc., and also paves the way to hell. Sattva, Rajas, Tamas, the three modes, don't cause any obstacles, but attachment to the modes carries it to the higher regions or middle regions or lower regions. Karanam guna sangosya sadasad yoni janmasu. Gita 13:21. The soul itself gets attached to the modes. Apara prakriti does not get attached to anyone. Neither para prakriti, nor modes, nor senses, nor mind, nor intellect gets attached. But the embodied soul itself gets attached, and thus it feels pleasure and pain and follows the cycle of birth and death. The soul is independent because it is para, the higher nature. The poor apara prakriti does nothing because it is insentient and is free from desire. The being getting attached to it and making proper use or misuse of it goes to high and low wombs and goes astray. It means that the being, in spite of being unchangeable, being attached to the changeable world, becomes the kaleidoscopic world, embodied soul. It has an eye on the body only. It does not even think of its divine nature. The self identifies with the world, that is, with the body, senses, mind, intellect, ego, which is altogether different from it. This is sustenance of the world. In fact, the world is not ours, because if we had attained the thing which is ours, our desires would have ended forever, and we would have been free from mindness, fear, worries, and desires. But the world can't afford us such a thing which is ours, that is, of which there is never any disunion. The entity which is ours can't be attained by the world, but can be attained by renouncing attachment to the world. Our thing is God. We are a part of that God. Mame vansho jiva loke. The method to attain him is that the object received from the world should be used to render service to the world without desiring any fruit. An aspirant should not be attached to any action or object. It is better not to harm anyone than to serve them. If we don't harm anyone and do not do evil to others, service will be naturally rendered to them. We shall have not to render it. We are not proud of the action which takes place itself, and there is no desire for its fruit. Having renounced pride and the desire for fruit, we attain the thing which is really ours. In fact, apara prakriti has no separate existence at all besides God. Na sato vidyate bhava. The individual self has cognized its apara prakriti's special existence. As money has no importance on its own, but we attach importance to it because of our greed for it. We are attracted towards the object to which we attach importance. We attach importance when we accept evil, that is, some faults. It is due to evil of lust for sex, there's attraction for woman. Because of the evil of greed, there's attraction for money. Because of the evil of delusion, there's attraction for family, and so on. But when we identify ourselves with those evils, we don't perceive those evils as evils, and we don't know that we, by assuming their existence, are attaching importance to them. When this identification is wiped out, evils stay no more in us, and virtues are not apparent. In endless universes, 3 worlds, 14 spheres, insentient, sentient, man-moving, moving, land creatures, aquatic creatures, sky creatures, placental born from egg born or perspiration sprouting from ground, sattvic, rajasvic, tamasa, men, deities, manes, celestial, musicians, animals, birds, insects, moths, ghost spirits, devils, Brahma, Rakshasas, demons, etc. Whatever beings are seen, heard, studied and imagined, in all of them there is nothing besides the two natures. Para, higher, and apara, lower nature. Whatever is seen, heard, studied and imagined, and the body, sense, mind, intellect, ego, by which the actions of seeing, hearing, studying and imagining are performed, are all apara. But he who sees, hears, studies, thinks, knows, assumes, is para. Para and apara, both being the powers of God, are inseparable from God. That is, they are manifestations of God. Therefore, in the inside and outside of endless universes and in the form of infinite universes, there is nothing else besides God. Vasudeva Sarvam. Sadasachaham Arjuna. All the philosophies and diverse opinions of the world have been propounded by their heads. But Vasudev Sarvam is not the philosophy or opinion of a particular acharya head, but it is the irreversible principle of Lord Krishna, within which all philosophies and diverse opinions are included. The individual self has assumed the independent existence of the apara. Ya yedam dharyate jagat. Apara is God's, but the self is bound because it has assumed apara, body, senses, mind, intellect, ego, its own and for itself. Therefore, if an aspirant perceives the world, it is his personal view. The personal view is not a principle. Whatever is seen is limited, while the reality is limitless. As the sun appears like a metallic dish, but actually it is not of the size of a metallic dish, but it is several times bigger than the earth. If the world is in cognizance of an aspirant, he should serve it in a disinterested manner. The assumption that the world is his and for him, and also the tendency to derive pleasure out of it, is anti-spiritual discipline and is the cause of bondage. The reason is that the body, senses, mind, intellect, etc., whatever we have, is of the world and for the world. Therefore, if the things received from the world are used in rendering service to the world will not appear as the world, but it will be seen as a manifestation of God, which really it is. It means, whether an aspirant assumes the world as true, or the self as true, or God as true, by any one of the assumptions, he can practice spiritual discipline and can attain final reality, Vasudeva Sarvam. This ends chapter 7, verse 4 and 5 by Swami Ramsukdas Ji.